Okay. Welcome to the Shir Targum Parshas Miketz. The Shir this evening is sponsored in memory of Fego Dvorah Bas Aaron, the grandmother of Aaron Goldman, so sponsored by Aaron, also the mother of Reuven Goldman, so he's sponsoring as well. It's also the yard site of the father of Chaim Meir Mermelstein, so Chaim Meir and his wife Elise are sponsoring memory of his father, Yosef Shmuel Shmelka, Ben Yitzchak, the Neshamos should have an Aliyah, Shimosh Nachas Ruach from the Torah Mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim, that the families are involved in. The first issue that Targum wanted to speak about this evening is right at the beginning of Parshas Miketz. So we know that Miketz opens up with Paro having a dream. Paro cholem, v'nei omeid al ha-ye'or. So Paro is standing on the ye'or. What's the ye'or? So Rashi over here writes, kol she'or nahoros einom kruyim ye'orim chutz minilus. The ye'or refers specifically to the Nile River. No other river in the world is referred to as a Ye'or. The only thing that's called the Ye'or is the Nilus, the Nile River in Egypt. And he explains, "Mipnei shekol ha'aretz asuim Ye'orim Ye'orim b'idei Adam, v'Nilus ola b'socha m'ashke osam." The way Egypt works is that the Nile is a central river in Egypt, and it feeds into all of these man-made channels that then irrigate the rest of the country. So, you know, Ya'ar means a channel, a man-made channel. So the Ya'ar, you know, capital T, so to speak, capital Y, if it were, you know, refers to the Nile specifically, that which feeds in to these multiple man-made channels, these aqueducts that irrigate the rest of Mitzrayim. But under normal circumstances, you know, just to refer to, let's say, the East River as the Ya'ar, the Hudson River as the Ya'ar, would be an improper usage of that particular term.
Is that because the term means a channel? And a normal river, a normal Nahar, is not a Ya'ar?
Yeah, it seems that that's what he's... It seems like that's what Rashi is saying. In other words, a Ya'ar means something that's dug out artificially. And, you know, to refer to a natural river as a Ya'ar is just simply incorrect. So it's interesting to note, if one takes a look at the Targum Onkelos, right on that Pasuk, he writes, Ufaro chalam, paro dreamt, v'ha ko'em al nahara. He was standing on the river, nahara. Nahara is the Aramaic for the Hebrew word nahar, which just means a river. So in other words, the Targum Onkelos does not identify Ya'ar with being Nilus. He doesn't identify it as being a particular river. He doesn't even use a term that would seem to indicate that it's a man-made construction. He translates it as the river. Paro was standing on the river. You know, Ya'ar is just a word for the river. And the Ramban picks up on this Targum Onkelos. He starts off by quoting Rashi, and then he writes of Onkelos Tirgem Ya'ar Nahara, as opposed to Rashi, who seems to understand that the Ya'ar is a specific the Ya'ar is a specific reference to the Nile River. It can mean man-made channels, but when it refers to a river, it refers to the Nile, which feeds all these man-made channels. But Onkelos does not seem to agree with Rashi on this point. He simply translates the word Ya'ar as Nahara. Rak Tirgem al Ya'orehem al Ariseihom. We do find another place a little bit later on in Chumash, in Parshas Vo'era, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told by the Ribbono Shel Olam to turn the rivers of Mitzrayim into blood. So there's a reference to Ya'orehem. There, you know, the multiple Ya'oros of Mitzrayim. So there clearly the reference is to the aqueducts of Mitzrayim, because it's in the plural. It's not simply referring to the Nile River in that context. So there, points out the Ramban, the Targum Onkelos uses a different word. He doesn't translate the word Ya'orehem as Naharosehem, or the equivalent, he uses the word Arisehon, which means their aqueducts. Kihutzvach Shom Lahavdil Beinehem, Mneshekvar Hizker Al Naharosom Yal Yoreim. There, the Torah uses the term that the rivers and the aqueducts of Mitzrayim are going to be transformed into blood. So there, okay, in that context, the word Yor means these artificial channels. But, you know, when we're just talking about the Yor, he doesn't translate it as the Nile, he translates it as the river. V'nei kulam yikaru l'dayto Yorim. Hagdolim yikroim nahoros v'yorim. Ve'elu asuyim chafiros aruchos b'dei odom gamhem yikaru Yorim. Writes the Ramban, the way the Targum Onkelos understands the word Ya'ar is that it's a very open-ended kind of word that simply means a flowing body of water. In other words, it could be a natural body of water, it could be an artificial body of water, anything that's either a river or a channel or some, you know, something that conveys flowing water is always referred to as a Ya'or. Yeah.
So according to that, we don't know which body of water he's referring to.
Right. In theory, he could be referring to a different river other than the Nile. It would be odd that Paro would be dreaming about a river other than the Nile, given the centrality that the Nile had in Egypt. I don't know that the Targum Onkelos and Rashi are necessarily arguing about identifying the river, but, you know, the question is just how do you translate the word Ya'or? You know, does Ya'ar mean the Nile, or does it mean a river? You know, that's the point of contention. So to prove the point which the Ramban sees as being implicit in Onkelos, he writes, Umotzino ki chidekel nikra Ya'ar. There's a source in Nach that seems to indicate that the Tigris River, which is very much not in Egypt, it's in Mesopotamia in Iraq, so we find that the chidekel is referred to as a Ya'or. Where do we see that? So he quotes a pasuk in Daniel, Perek Yud, where Daniel writes, Ani ho'isi al yad hanor ha'gadol hu'chidekel. Daniel says, I was by the large river, the Tigris. And then he writes a little bit later on in Perek Yud Beis in Daniel, V'nei shnayim acherim omdim echad heino l'sfas ha'ya'or ve'echad heino l'sfas ha'ya'or. It makes reference to Daniel still having that same image, that same that same vision, and it talks about there's a person that he saw by the he's hovering over the Ya'or, and two other malachim on either side of the Ya'or. What do you mean? What do you mean? He's on either side of the Ya'or. He's in Iraq. He's not in Egypt. So says the Ramban. No, you see clearly that he's referring to the Chidekel, to the Tigris River. And he's using the word Ya'ar to describe that river. And that's a natural river. That's not an artificial river that's dug out. It's not an aqueduct or something like that. So you see that the word Ya'ar is used in Tanakh just in the sense of river, as opposed to being the Nile as a specific example.
Is the Nile a natural river?
Yeah. The Nile's a natural river. So, Uladaiti Kedivrik Enkolos Kenhu. Says the Ramban, he agrees with Onkelos, ki ya'ar v'nahar lashon echad. The words ya'ar and nahar, you know, are both two synonyms in the Hebrew language that both mean river. So, and he writes, shneyem lashon ora. The words nahar and ya'ar are both derived from the word or, which means light. Now let's think about this for a minute. Okay, I get that with the Ya'or. Ya'or, right? Where does Nahar come to mean or? So the commentaries on the Ramban explain as follows. You know, a little Aramaic, which I guess is a good thing if we're having a Targum Shir. So in Aramaic, Nahar means light, right? Sagi Nahar means a blind person in Aramaic, a person who's filled up with a lot of light. It's a euphemism, right? So the word nahar is really related to the Aramaic word for light, and the word ya'ar is related to the Hebrew word for light. Ya'ar and nahar, says the Ramban, are really just variants, even though I don't like using that word these days, but they're really just variants on the same idea. They both mean the idea of light. V'chein ha-geshem nikra or. And rain as well is referred to as or. And he quotes a pasuk from Iyov. Hein paras olav oro, which in context, the or, which is being referred to in Iyov, or he quotes another pasuk from Iyov, yofitz anan oro, the cloud of its or, in context, if you look up the pasuk, it's clear that or over there is referring not to light in the sense in which we usually use the term, but it's referring to rain. And he quotes to, you know, just to help us understand this idea, a medrash from Bereishis Rabba, Kmosha Amru, Amr Reb Yochanan kol ora ho amura be'eliyu, whenever Elihu speaks in Iyov about or, biridas kishomim akosuv medaber. The Medrash says explicitly the word or is used in Iyov in the sense of rain. So in other words, we have this interesting phenomena where this word, which we all know to mean light, I mean, here we are, we're starting Chanukah tonight, right? So, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, sometimes they refer to Chanukah as Chagurim, right? It's the holiday of lights. So, or, here it has this association with water, right? Rain is associated with the word or, you know, the river is associated both in Hebrew and Aramaic with the word or. What's the connection between light and rain and the river? Why do light and water have this etymological connection in Lashon HaKodesh? So he writes this, he suggests the following. V'ulai ba'avur shagshamim b'sibas hame'oros. Perhaps it has to do with the fact that rain has what to do with the luminaries in the heavens. Right? In the Oz V'Hodor comments to the Ramban, he quotes the Ibn Ezra from Iyov on these psukim, where the Ibn Ezra there writes, Shenikra hamotar or ba'avur hamor hakoton. Why is rain referred to in Iyov as or, as light? It's because of the mor hakoton, the smaller luminary, i.e. the moon. Ki bitznu osav yihi hamotar b'tzivui habore. Because the moon has what to do with the rain that comes down. The moon and its cycles impacts on the tides, impacts on the rain, impacts on the rivers. So water is controlled by the luminaries, the moon in particular, hence the connection, writes the Ibn Ezra and writes the Ramban over here, between the idea of or and the idea of water. V'hanahoros yeyasu mehem, so why is the river referred to as or? The river is made up of rainwater. Yisyachsu el ha'avos, so since there's this connection between the rain and the light and the luminaries, and you know the rain is what ultimately fills up the rivers, so ultimately the idea of light is associated etymologically with rain, with the rivers and the light, because the Hebrew language is acknowledging this linkage in nature between the celestial luminaries and the water, the way it comes down on the earth. Yeah.
Right.
Interesting. Okay, very, very nice. So you have at the very beginning of Bereishis, right? There's Mayim, there's water, and right away after the water, so the light is created. So we see, you know, even going back to the very early Psukim and Chumash, this connection between light and water. So that's the way the Ramban takes apart, you know, the etymology of the word Ya'ar. Ya'ar, Nahar, they're all ultimately one, and there's this connection between light and water that you see in Lashon HaKodesh. Perhaps one can suggest this is different than the Ramban, you know, in this last point, but, you know, throw it out there, and if you like it, you like it. If you don't like it, you get your money back at the end of the shiur. Whatever money you invested in the shiur, you get it back. Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, water we know is essential for our existence as human beings. In many ways, you know, although light is not quite as essential as water, a person could go without light and still be alive, but there's something very fundamental about light in our lives as well. And, you know, maybe that also is suggested by this connection between water and light, you know, which according to the Ramban is built in into the psukim themselves. I want to focus for another couple of moments before Ma'ariv On another Targum Onkelos Ramban connection, in the last issue which we discussed, we saw that the Ramban explicitly invokes the Targum Onkelos as being a different pshat than Rashi, and he sees the Targum Onkelos as more accurate in terms of explaining the psukim. Here, the Ramban does not invoke the Targum Onkelos directly. But I think one can argue that the Ramban's interpretation, you know, may be inspired by the Targum Onkelos. So Yosef is brought out of prison and interprets the dreams for Paro. And after interpreting the dreams, Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Yosef says, V'ato yere Paro ish novon v'chacham, Bishiseu al Eretz Mitzrayim. Now it would be a good idea that Paro should identify someone who is a Navon and a Chacham, and he should place that, you know, should appoint that person over the land of Egypt, and that person will steward the country through the, you know, the period that's going to come up. Paro, of course, we know is impressed, and he says, Pasuk Lamed Tes, Vayomer Paro Yosef, in light of the fact that Hashem has revealed all of these things to you, ein navon v'chacham kamocha. There's nobody who is as navon and chacham as you yourself are. Navon and chacham, roughly speaking, both mean wise, right? Navon means wise, chacham means wise. So why do you have both navon and chacham? Right, and it, clearly there seems to be an emphasis on the person needing to be both a Navon and a Chacham, because that's what Yosef suggests, and Yosef clearly is very careful with what he says. And Paro echoes exactly what Yosef says, and also talks about we need to find someone who's a Navon and a Chacham. So the Ramban comments on the first Pasuk, where this appears in Lamed Gimel, and explains a little bit what he understands Navon and Chacham to be. So he writes, Navon, Shiyeda l'nahel am Eretz Mitzrayim b'lechem l'fi ataf miyodo, the person who is appointed should be able to lead the people of Mitzrayim and to give them the appropriate amounts of food, v'losei slohem kedei chiyusam, right, during the years of famine, right, he should be able to admit to basically be a good administrator, to give out the bread in an appropriate fashion, to give everyone what they need, but not more than what they need, so they shouldn't waste it. And whatever's left over, what they don't have to give out in Mitzrayim, so that they'll sell to the other countries, and that will bring in revenue to Mitzrayim. So in other words, Navon speaks to the person's administrative abilities, right? He should be talented as an administrator. The Chacham, says the Ramban, means Shiyeda l'kayim hatvua shelo tirkaf, that he should be capable to preserve the grain so that it doesn't rot. In other words, while they're storing the grain during the first 7 years. Shiyerav m'komin dover m'kayim oso b'tivo, right? He has to know how to mix in with the grain some item, some chemical, which is going to make sure, some preservative, which is going to ensure that the grain is not going to rot. So in other words, to be a chacham, according to the Ramban, means having a certain type of scientific knowledge, right? Navon means that he's a good administrator. Chacham means that he has certain scientific know-how. If the person has either one or the other, it's not going to be suffice. If we just hire a scientist to run Mitzrayim during this next period of time, great. So preserve the grain, and then will come the 7 years of famine, and he won't know how to give out the grain appropriately, and he'll still mess everything up. Or conversely, he could have the best administrator in the world, but if he doesn't have the scientific knowledge to preserve the grain during the first 7 years, so good. So he'll be very adept at giving out the grain, except there won't be any grain, you know, because it all rotted during the first 7 years. So you need somebody who's a Navon and a Chacham, someone who can combine administrative know-how together with the scientific knowledge to make, you know, everything work properly during these two periods of time. It's not just we need a smart guy, you know, we need someone who has a very specific skill set and two very specific skill sets. Right? He needs to be an administrator, and he also needs to be a little bit of a scientist, you know, to know how to make sure that the grain is going to be preserved. So
is that mirror from the divine Yosef?
I'm sorry?
How is that apparent from Yosef's words that Paro could say, "En chacham
No, I think when Paro says, "Einav and v'chacham kamocha," you know, I just see in the way that you interpreted the dream that you have these capabilities.
The chachma I understand.
Right.
But where's the administrative skills? Because he knows you need an administrator?
Well, when he speaks to Paro, he does give him advice. He doesn't just interpret the dreams.
Right.
Right? Yaseh Paro v'yafke p'kidim al ha'oretz v'chimesh eseretz Mitzrayim v'yikpitzu es kol ochel ha'shonim ha'tovos ha'bos ha'ela. In other words, he sort of unsolicited gives him a plan as to what's going to, you know, the best way to handle the next 7 years. So that's the administrative ability. And perhaps that's why, that's why Paro actually puts the Navon first. If you think about it chronologically, Chacham should come before Navon, because Chacham is how you deal with the 7 years of plenty, and Navon is how you deal with the 7 years of famine. He puts both of them, put Navon and Chacham first. I guess because the administrative ability that you really need. The chachma, you can outsource. In other words, I don't have to be the scientist. I need to know that we need to hire a scientist in order to make sure that the stuff doesn't drop. So it could be that Paro is reacting to the fact that clearly you have administrative abilities because you're describing a system as to how to make this work over the next 7 years. I don't necessarily see from Yosef's reaction that he has the scientific ability to be able to, you know, make sure that the grain doesn't rot. But I guess if you're smart enough to figure out dreams, you're either smart enough to know the science or at least to know that you need to hire somebody who knows the science in order to deal with that. That's what I would imagine, you know, is based on his reaction. So the Ramban does not reference the Targum Onkelos at all over here. But one wonders if perhaps the words of the Ramban are implicit in the Targum Onkelos. So the Targum Onkelos, both times that Navon and Chacham appear, translates them as Gvar Suchlison v'Chakim. So Chakim, again, is literally just the Aramaic version of Chacham. Suchlison is related to the word Seichel. Seichel means not just somebody who has knowledge, but someone who's able to apply that knowledge. So, you know, you could... I'm sorry?
Find appropriate.
Right. In other words, you could know a lot of stuff, but you know, in other words, can you apply it practically appropriately in an on the ground kind of sense? That really is the science of being an administrator, right? In other words, not just I know facts and figures, but I'm able to organize and put everything together. So one wonders, again, it's maybe a lot to read into the Targum Onkelos, but one wonders if the Suchlason v'Chakim, as translated by the Targum Onkelos, might be the basis for this distinction which the Ramban is making in terms of understanding Navon v'Chacham. Okay, wish everyone a Freilich and Chanukah. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu.